This is Women's Rights, a podcast about women's ordination, written and produced by students at Smith College.
Hi, I'm Miriam.
I'm Madeline.
And I'm Lillian. We're your hosts for this episode of Women's Rights. This season, we are exploring the story of women's ordination in Conservative Judaism, the United Church of Christ, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, the Buddhist Churches of America, and among Evangelical Protestants.
To do so, we've interviewed women in each of these traditions, talking about women's ordination activism and the experience of being ordained. In this episode, we're going to look at the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, also called the ELCA.
We asked our ordained pastor about her upbringing and how that influenced her decision to pursue ordination. We also asked if there were any ordained women in her childhood that she looked up to, and whether or not she currently feels supported as a woman in her denomination. But first, here's some background on the ELCA for our listeners.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church of America is a relatively new denomination of Lutheranism, only having formed in 1988 as a result of a merger between three other Lutheran denominations: the American Lutheran Churches, also called ALC, American Evangelical Lutheran Churches, AELC, and the Lutheran Church of America, LCA. A founding principle of the ELCA was inclusivity, and this, of course, included women's ordination. This was partly due to Lutheran women having been ordained since 1970 in the ALC and LCA. These women were ordained through voting in regional church assemblies.
Now that some background has been established on the ELCA, here's some information about our interviewee. We had the opportunity to interview Pastor Steph Smith, a local Northampton pastor. She is an ordained pastor within the ELCA and has been ordained for 22 years.
Pastor Stephanie Smith is currently the Mission Developer Pastor at Cathedral in the Night, a local Northampton outdoor church that works primarily with the unhoused and people experiencing food insecurity in the community. As part of their service, they offer a weekly meal to the congregation.
We asked Pastor Steph about her upbringing and how she was influenced to pursue ordination.
So I grew up Lutheran in Rhode Island, so this is not a new faith for me. I've grown up in that tradition. And my story of how I sort of began to think about becoming a pastor really began very, very young. And in, I think, probably not a typical way. I think everyone growing up was like, I'm going to be a firefighter. And I was like, I'm going to be a pastor. And then I'd get weird looks. But I think it's just something I always knew that I wanted to do. And it really helped too that when I was about 12, we called a female associate pastor to our church, and her name was Linda Forsberg, and she's still a great mentor of mine. And I think that really helped solidify for me that women can do this job and still be a person. I think even at a young age, I was concerned that people sort of put you on a pedestal and you're separate from everybody. And she really helped me see that you can be very down to earth and still do this job. My friends, I should say, and you can cut this out if you want, but my friends call me Pastor Potty Mouth. So I am very down to earth, not what most people think about when they hear pastor. So
Pastor Steph continued to elaborate on her childhood experiences and interactions with religion, starting from a young age and into adulthood.
I'd say, too, about that time, what was really great about growing up in our church was just a huge sense of community and lots of adults that were part of my life as a kid that I knew there were a lot of people I could go to if I ever needed to talk to someone, not just my parents. And that was a big part of my faith. And then I also then began working at a Lutheran camp up in New Hampshire, Calumet Lutheran. And that was also a big part of my call, and having a place to experiment in talking about faith with young people and getting to live that out in such a welcoming community.
Feeding off of what Pastor Steph was saying, we asked her to further elaborate on when she knew that being a pastor was her calling.
Yeah, it sounds a little silly, but I remember just being young in church and whoever was leading worship saying all the prayers, and I would say them again in my head. And I don't know what that was about for me when I was little, but I just started to think, like, this is something I can do. And then as I grew, and certainly my relationship with my home pastor, Linda, that really helped me to see there's lots of ways to do this job. I think before her, our pastor was male and older, and so I struggled to see what this would be like in my life until I had that role model at our church with her ripped jeans and long dark hair, and I thought, okay, this is like a real person.
Once Pastor Steph knew what her calling was, her next step was to attend seminary to get the education required to become a pastor. Attending seminary, she did not have many struggles regarding her gender, but once she became ordained, this was a slightly different matter. Pastor Steph realized that she was going to be a first for many congregations who had only had male pastors in the past.
I will most likely always be the first woman in any community that I go to as a pastor. So I remember going to one church and seeing all the pictures of men, just 8x10 pictures of all the male pastors, and then there's me.
Pastor Steph told us about one of her first experiences with someone directly criticizing her for being a woman.
In our tradition, you have the whole congregation gets to vote that you will become their pastor. And I remember right after the vote, someone came up to me, an older gentleman, and said, "I didn't vote for you." And I was like, okay. He was the only one that didn't vote for me. And he said, "Well, I really feel like the church is struggling to draw men. And I don't see how a woman would be able to help in that area."
Pastor Steph goes on to reveal that the man ended up changing his mind and became a very close friend of hers, but she still knew that many people had similar ideas, they just hadn't spoken them out loud. She also mentioned some criticism from an unexpected group, women.
But there, honestly, it's been women more than men who struggle, I think, sometimes with me as a pastor. Women who had less opportunities struggle seeing younger women come through that have more opportunities than they do, and maybe the frustration that is in them comes out as prejudice potentially. But I think also they're just coming to terms with it wasn't okay that they didn't have opportunities that younger women have today.
As mentioned earlier, many people didn't voice their opinions aloud. But Pastor Steph heard many opinions when she was leaving the church where she had spent a year for her internship. Many people told her that she had changed their minds about whether or not a woman could be a pastor. And Pastor Steph had some conflicting thoughts about this.
I was like, was that my job? Was that my job here to, like, prove that all women can do this job?
After her internship, Pastor Smith eventually became a pastor of a church in Northampton, Massachusetts. We asked her if she currently feels supported in her community, and she enthusiastically replied, yes.
I mean, Northampton is, God bless our little town, this quirky, fun, non-judgmental, open place. And that's what I think I love about being here and feel really lucky that I ended up getting a job here.
Sometimes women can bring a different perspective to things, which Pastor Steph believes to be true for pastors as well, as she shows through this story.
When I was first ordained, preaching is like a lot. And it's very I'm very vulnerable. And I remember when I first started preaching, I would lots of times kind of tear up. And then I'd fight against tearing up because then I was like, oh, people are going to think I'm weak. And that's not something people do. And especially men don't do that. And I would fight against it, which FYI, don't fight against it. It makes it bigger. But I remember after church, someone saying, thank you for showing emotion. We've not really had that from the pulpit before. I do think there are things that particularly women bring, and a sense of openness and vulnerability that I will say that men before me didn't bring. I have to stop fighting against what I think a pastor should be or how men have done it in the past and just let that be who I am and trust that that's enough.
She still feels the discrimination against women in this world sometimes, especially during her outdoor church services.
Our church is outside. I don't wear anything on a Sunday that would particularly say that I'm the pastor. I just wear street clothes. And I will notice that when people are walking by, because we're right on Main Street here in Northampton, and someone's like, who's in charge? They never come to me first. We have some men that volunteer with us. I will notice that people always go to the men to be like, are you in charge? And then I'm like, well, that would be me. So I think there's still some work to do in that kind of stereotype of pastors are men.
In the ELCA, the leadership is supportive of ordained women, something that Pastor Steph is thankful for.
I remember when I was in seminary, a church that I knew of, when they were going through the call process, fancy word for getting a new pastor. And so you get to interview different people, and they right out said, and this was 20 something years ago now, but straight out said, don't give us any women as candidates. We're not interested. And it was really the bishop that had to be like, we need to talk about this. That's not okay. And they ended up calling a female pastor. I do believe on that, especially those higher levels of bishops and in other denominations, higher level people that do need to be really pushing those conversations and really digging into what's going on with that.
As mentioned previously, Pastor Steph is a pastor of Cathedral in the Night. Cathedral in the Night serves people from all walks of life, particularly the unhoused and economically disadvantaged, by providing a place of support, worship, and community. We wanted to ask Pastor Steph more about how this unique ministry came to be, the challenges they've faced, and the valuable lessons they've learned along the way.
Let's start at the very beginning with the origin story. We asked Pastor Steph what exactly prompted her to found Cathedral in the Night.
It really was me meeting with a colleague in town that was my age-ish and talking about how do we make church more open and accepting for younger people, and especially people that haven't grown up in any faith tradition. And as we were talking more about it, I said, we really should talk to my friend Chris, who worked at UMass in campus ministry, Episcopal priest. And then Chris, who I was talking about, came and sat down. And I said, you know, we're really thinking about starting something different, something that's going to really appeal to young people and unchurched people. And he's like, oh, you heard about the grant? And I was like, no. And the Episcopal Church, the Young Adult Campus Ministry Division of the Episcopal Church, put out a grant for just this mission and wanting it to be ecumenical, fancy word for more than one church. So, and the Episcopal and Lutheran churches are very close. So we applied for a grant. That's really what got us started.
It's so interesting to hear how a simple conversation in a coffee shop grew into something so impactful. Cathedral in the Night took on a focus specifically around social justice and working with the unhoused community in Northampton. We asked Pastor Steph what led her to that focus.
Chris, working in campus ministry at UMass for 20-something years, at that point had realized if we're not grounded in social justice of some kind, it's not going to appeal to the unchurched, or especially young people, that people want to be a part of community that's making a difference in the world. And so pretty quickly we shifted towards this focus of working with the unhoused and the economically poor community here in Northampton. And and so that sort of shifted. It took us a while. We spent about 6 months meeting with people at the community meal in town, just to get to know people, so that by the time we started, it wasn't like, who are those people? Like, we had already built relationships, which is key to starting anything new. We always talk about in our ministry that money is important, don't get me wrong, and resources are important. But if you think about your own life, what changes your life the most when you look at your past? I'm guessing 99% of the time as a person.
Cathedral in the Night is a unique kind of congregation. So next, we wanted to find out if they had faced any challenges in sustaining a congregation like Cathedral.
Yeah, so if you're going to start a street church, you better find some funds to do that, because the funding doesn't come from within. It took a long time for us to convince the Lutheran Church, and then at the time the Episcopal and United Church of Christ, we also partner with, to fund this, because the typical model at that time was, you know, you get a certain amount of money over 5 years and then you're on your own, and people from the pews should be supporting the church at that point. We didn't fit that mold. So we needed a lot of people to get behind us. So that was a hurdle in the beginning to really do a lot of convincing, and just really grateful that people within the Lutheran Synod really pushed for that for us. And then, you know, sustaining a street church requires a lot of continuing training on my part. I didn't go to seminary thinking I would work with this population. So there's not classes, at least when I was in seminary, that were trauma-informed or really understanding the issues of this particular community, which are in a lot of ways the same as any community, but in some ways are very different.
Since this is a congregation made primarily of unhoused and economically disadvantaged people, Pastor Steph also mentioned the challenges of being trauma-informed in her ministry.
I would say really the best teachers were the people in our community that were patient with us and were kind and were willing to partner with us in the beginning, especially to teach us that.
It sounds like Cathedral in the Night has evolved alongside the community it serves. Now, for our last question, we asked Pastor Steph if she could give advice to her younger self at the beginning of her career, what she would say.
I think to be patient, that the right things will come along. I mean, I think you just learn it by doing, is to trust yourself. You can read the same biblical passage every day of your life, and it could probably say something new to you. So remember, I had ended my sermon with, that's where I'm at today. Where are you at with this today? And I remember someone saying, don't say that. You just discredited yourself. And I was like, did I? Because I actually think I gave space for other people to be in a different space or to disagree or to not believe that just because a pastor said it, it is the only way that you can think about this. I don't know that my younger self would have listened, but that's what I would tell people coming up in the ranks too, is to just, you know, trust in that and trust that you have unique things to share that won't be shared unless you share them.
What powerful insights. Thank you so much to Pastor Steph Smith for sharing her story with us. That concludes our podcast for today.
Our theme music was Bird Therapist by Craig MacArthur, used by an attribution non-commercial share alike Creative Commons license. Special thanks to Pastor Steph Smith. Also, thanks to Dan Bennett and Meredith Richter of the Smith Learning, Research, and Technology team. And thanks to the Religion Department that supports public-facing student writing at Smith College.
Tune in next time on Women's Rights, where we'll interview the Reverend Dr. Mitsumi Wandra of the Buddhist Churches of America.